Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned into Kings of Non Sequitur. Any topic, any subject, anything goes. With your host, Jay and Trey. Hey, it's bracket time. All right. Some normalcy back to our lives. Something that we just really missed last year, and now it's back, even though it's kind of not back. It's back in one city and one city only, but it's back. It's something. It's some semblance of March Madness, and we are here to break it all down as only we can with our limited watching of basketball this year. You are listening live to Kings of Non Sequitur, the off-season version of It's Less Detail, the podcast. We are here with you live on a Tuesday night, March 16th, 2021. I'm Dre, he's Jay, and we are picking the brackets tonight for March Madness, our picks for the tournament coming up, the men's college basketball tournament. And it's definitely some changes. It's definitely not what we're used to, and it's definitely going to have a lot less research from me. Not that research ever did that much good, but I didn't watch hardly anything. Jason, how much college basketball did you get in?
Very little. Very little.
All right.
I had some. I won't say none. So it wasn't zero, but it wasn't a lot. I had some awareness of some of the teams and what was going on. But yeah, if you're expecting the deep dive here tonight, from our listeners, you're not getting it.
No, definitely not from either side. Usually I come up with a little something because I've watched a lot of the games, but not this year.
But this is a celebration. Everybody fills out a bracket. So it doesn't matter if you know anything about it or not. Everybody fills out a bracket, you know, and you have that Thursday and Friday, that first round of the tournament. And it's always one of the most exciting 2 days, especially the first two rounds that weekend. It's a lot of fun, even if you don't watch college basketball, which I don't really watch much, but I watched a little.
Yeah, and it's different this year. We talked about the first difference, of course, which is every game is taking place somewhere in the Indianapolis metropolitan area.
Yeah.
Just different buildings. The second difference is I don't quite know why they made the dates different, the days different, but it's definitely been a tradition to get ready for that Thursday and Friday of that weekend and leading into Saturday, Sunday for round two. And so it's a day later. Maybe they were trying see who was going to drop out due to COVID and who was going to be because that was the other issue, was that there were replacement teams on standby just in case when they made their selections on Sunday, that one of the teams raised their finger and said, we're not going to be able to make it. We had a Duke situation where the whole fucking campus came down with the goop in case something like that happened. Thankfully, as of this moment, nothing like that has happened. So everybody's in that's supposed to be in, but I guess to give them an extra day to get everything settled, no basketball Thursday. Well, not the actual first round.
Yeah, the play-in games. So everything's a day later.
Right. The play-in games will be all on one day, I believe, on the Thursday coming up, and then first round action will be Friday and Saturday, not instead of Thursday and Friday. And then second round action will be Sunday and Monday. So that'll be a little bit of an adjustment for those of us who are used to that Thursday and Friday. But look, it's still the big dance. It's still college basketball. It's still the tournament. It's still so much better than what we experienced last year when we were all geared up and getting ready for the dance and everything just shut down all at once.
That was literally a year ago. I remember being at work a year ago when they were pulling teams off the court at halftime.
Like it was just like, everything just had to stop right that second.
Like the building was on fire. And if those two teams did not stop playing basketball, everyone was going to get coronavirus and die.
To their credit, that was also coming on the heels of the NBA is sitting there thinking everything is fine, and then they have to watch in horror as one of their star players, the Stifle Tower, is blowing his breath on reporters and everybody around him, and then he comes down with the goop and is like, maybe we shouldn't be doing this. So
was that Rudy Gobert?
Yeah, Stifle Tower.
Yeah, when he was I didn't know he had a nickname, when he was touching all the microphones as a joke, breathing on them, and it turned out he had the goop.
Oh, maybe he shouldn't have been doing that.
Whoopsie. I filled out a bracket. What you had asked me right as we were going to air was what I had typed into the text box for my sign into the show tonight. It was actually, I wrote Jay with the shitty bracket.
Oh, well.
And it must have cut off.
As it shows up on my screen, it just says Jay with the shit.
Oh, man, and I'm bringing the shit. That's right. So I'll find out if my picks are the shit or if shitty.
I didn't know if you were trying to be, hip-hop Jay and trying to be cool. Hey, I'm bringing the shit tonight, boy. I'm going to have some fire picks right here. Here we go. No?
I don't have all four one seeds in the final four, so.
You do or you don't?
I do not.
Oh, okay.
That's what we call an Obama bracket.
Good. We at least we don't have that.
And I somehow doubt we're going to see Joe Biden doing brackets.
Don't think that's his deal.
Who do you have coming out of the West? Well, you know the team. You know the team.
Those guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't think he's into that at all. So. Yeah, it's bracket time. I have so much confidence in my brackets because of all the research that I usually do, and it winds up like I'm within like a pick or two of you at the end. And it's kind of like our football picks. I do all this research and preparation and wind up
at the end of the season, and we're just a few games apart.
Yeah.
I want to say 2 years ago. It was 2 or 3 years ago, because obviously there's nothing last year. So one or two of these ago that we did where you had just done all the research and I did nothing, and you beat me, I think, by like one game.
Right.
So it's okay. You should. Yeah, I should be worried because you have no research this year, and you might actually learn that coming over to the dark side and doing things the way I do them is just the way to do it. So I don't want you to learn that, because I want you to waste all your time. Research.
This is going to be more metrics based for me, like there's so many of these teams that I've seen literally 0 seconds of them play, so I all I can do is go off of their stats and some of the write-ups that I've been reading about them. I haven't done that much reading either. It's not like I've been buried in the books since Sunday night. I've got a full-time job, so I've been working yesterday and today, and so I did what I could, and I came up with what I got. And it's brackets. It's fun. It's awesome. Brackets are back. If you were relying on me and my research to help your brackets, I'm sorry. It's just not gonna be how it works this year. But I don't think anyone was depending on that anyway. So yeah, it's a lot more fun this year. It's a lot less studying, a lot less DVR space being taken up by basketball games. In fact, no DVR space. I taped 0 games. And I watched almost 0 games. I watched a little of the conference tournaments, but not much. Basically going off of a lot of stats and a lot of gut. So that's what we got this year.
Yeah. So we've got our upsets. We've got our bracket, our winner. You know what? We always have fun doing this show.
Yeah. Ready to do it?
Yeah. Well, might as well. Got to do it at some point. Do it now. Do it live.
Make it official. All right. How I usually do it is I go to a region, and I always give credit. I ripped this off from Tony Kornheiser's show and the way he does it when he has guests on picking brackets. And as far as the first round goes, we don't break down every single game. I just tell you to look down the bracket. So we'll start. They'd still made them geographic. Is another weird thing about the coronavirus.
We just couldn't have A, B, C, or D.
I thought it was supposed to be 1, 2, 3, and 4. I really thought that was how it was supposed to go. But then you turn on the selection show, and there's Greg Gumbel talking about, here we go out to the West, even though everything is in Indianapolis. Like, okay. So, yeah, they did it by directions, despite everything being in one place. So out to the West, the West side of Indianapolis, I guess, is what we'll call it. And we'll just go first round picks. We won't talk about every single game. Just look down the list of your
yep.
first round picks in the Western bracket up there in the upper left, the way they did it. And just tell me any upsets that you have, no matter how small an upset it might be. In
right,
the first
even
round.
If it's a 9 over an 8. I have two. I only have two in the West. I have 13 Iowa over Virginia. And I have...
Oh, that's Ohio. Okay.
Ohio. What did I say?
You said Iowa. I was like, wait a minute.
No, Ohio. Yeah. Okay. Find out the other secret of mine is alcohol. and number 10, Virginia Commonwealth, I believe that is VCU over Oregon.
Yeah.
So those are my only two that I have in the West. I've got the 13 seed and the 10 seed VCU. Everything else is chalk.
Okay, did you have...
And that one I have no stunning insights.
reason at all?
I did the same thing that you do, mm-hmm. And I was very metrics heavy. Like, I just sort of looked at the scoring and the three-point shooting, you know, and that Ohio-Virginia matchup. Virginia won the title, you know, was that two seasons ago now. And,
right.
They, you know, they've had a tendency, I believe they're still the only one seed to ever get bounced.
Correct.
Ever. And that slow, methodical style of play, I just don't trust it. And Ohio puts up a lot of points. So that's right. Why I went with that one. And I have literally nothing on the VCU Oregon one other than I just looked at it and went, well, all right, I'll do that one. Just
okay.
Because your favorite.
Oh, no.
Just because. Oh.
All right, I'll circle that in now. That's always a win when you go just because. So my first round insights in the West, UCSB, Cal Santa Barbara, over Creighton is, where is that? 12, oh, that's the 12-5.
I have memories of us maybe back in the late 80s, bored talking on the phone, watching a UCSB game. On, I don't even remember what station it was on, but it wasn't one of your standard stations. It was like in the UHF dial, and it was one of the most boring, worst basketball games we'd ever seen because I believe like it was like 8-6, three quarters of the way through the first half, and that's what's always stood out to me about UCSB.
I have no memories of that game. I'll take your word for that.
But you like them.
I do. But, of course, I have to acknowledge another old man comment and just laugh and bring that up. Daddy, what's UHF?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kids have no idea.
Nope. The stations only went from 2 to into the 60s, depending on your TV. They didn't all end. I believe it was 69?
The TVs themselves went up to, I think, 80-something, but
yeah.
As far as what, you know, in Chicago, no, there were no channels past.
No, 66 was the highest station that we had. That was,
right.
You know, because Channel 66 was where you could always watch Samurai Sunday.
Well, I have great memories of Channel 66 as the first, where we saw the first music videos in Chicago. Cause,
oh,
of course,
yeah.
Not everyone had cable, so MTV was a foreign thing to me. But when we finally got free music videos, it was Channel 66, WGBO, I believe. Oof, that's really going back. All right, another trip off the beaten path down the Kings of Non Sequitur Lane. As I was saying, UCSB over Crete. Yeah, both teams, I'm reading about them. I've seen 0 seconds of either team this year. They both put the ball in the basket with efficiency. But UCSB is a little better defensively. Plus, they're in that plus 10 club. I do like that metric. Teams that are have a plus minus on the season of over 10. I've always had a soft spot for those teams. They don't always do great. Often they get bounced. But it's just something about when you can dominate and put up numbers where you're more than 10 points better than everybody that you played that year. I always have a soft spot for those. So they're in the club. I'd love to know why Creighton shoots 64% from the free throw line, because that's awful. That's almost as bad as Dwight Howard.
If your whole team is Giannis, but that's not okay.
And they're shooting 70% from the floor, right? Yeah,
If you can take two steps and dunk from the 3-point line, then you don't need to worry about the free throws.
That's not the case with Creighton. So I'm taking the. I don't even know what the mascot for Santa Barbara is, but I'm taking them. I considered Ohio over Virginia.
That's the Gauchos. It's the Gauchos.
Wow, look at you bringing the fire. You really are the shit on this show. All right, the UCSB Gauchos. I considered your Bobcats. I know Ohio over Virginia, but Virginia's D should tamp down Ohio's high motor, so it's going to be close, I believe. And Iowa and Grand Canyon down there in the 215 are both in the plus 10 club. So I got to give some look at Grand Canyon just because of that. But it's Iowa and Grand Canyon, so. Should be physical in the paint if that gets your juices flowing, but definitely can't take Grand Canyon over Iowa under any circumstances. Sorry. That is, I believe, one upset for me in the first round in the West, and two for you. So then we go all the way out in the West round by round. In the next round, to go to the Sweet 16, we both have Gonzaga versus Oklahoma at the top of that bracket.
We do,
you got
so we both have that. I have Gonzaga.
Okay, and so do I. And then
they're not just plus 10. They're plus 23.
They're plus a lot more than 10.
There aren't too many teams in the plus 23 club.
that's very rare. There are also very few teams that are undefeated, and Gonzaga would happen to be the only one. In the next game down from them is we both got
we have a UC. Wildly different matchup here. You have Virginia UCSB. I have Creighton versus Ohio, where I have Creighton. A team I actually have seen some this year is Creighton, and I've got that soft spot for the old Conference USA. So I'm going to put Creighton into the Sweet 16 against Gonzaga.
Okay. And in my matchup of UCSB against Virginia, I will have UCSB's dream in there, and I'll go with Virginia. I still like that championship DNA for Virginia. Most of those players have moved on, but there's a couple of them still there, so I'll take them to knock off the – what did you say they were, the Gauchos?
The Gauchos.
All right. Then be Southern Cal against Kansas in the next game down.
Surprisingly, I have an upset here. I have USC beating Kansas in this matchup.
Okay.
So USC has the same problem that you talked about with the poor foul shooting, which is not good. But they do rein the three ball, and not everybody makes it all the way through, so I have Kansas here getting upset. So I got USC upsetting Kansas.
You have Canvas? How many drinks have you had already?
Just one.
Oh, ooh. This is going to be real interesting when you get more than one in there.
I must be hitting the good stuff.
I concur. I also have USC to beat Kansas and move on because
maybe
Kansas.
You can explain my pick.
The Kansas has some injury and COVID issues. They're going to be undermanned, and they weren't terribly deep this year to begin with. So I just think they're ripe to get knocked off right there.
Got it.
So I'm with you there.
So you're with me, and then I have Iowa beating my 10 seed BCU.
And I also have Iowa winning over Oregon.
Wow. So we're not too far off here. So.
And in the Sweet 16, you have Gonzaga against Creighton.
Yes, and I have Gonzaga walking out of that one pretty easy.
Okay.
They are there's not a lot of tough tests in the top half of that bracket.
Right, yeah, they got a real nice draw from what I'm hearing from the experts. I have Gonzaga against Virginia, and I have them walking about as easily as you have them over Creighton. Gonzaga's just too talented. Yeah. We both have... below them, USC against Iowa.
Yeah, I actually have USC advancing to the round of eight to face Gonzaga. I think USC. I've got the, you know, the Big Ten almost always disappoints, so you can always bank on that in the, you know, in the March badness that, that the Big Ten will find the way to get a lot of teams in, and all of a sudden you get to the second weekend and there's very few left, and I've got USC bouncing them. USA plays some defense, so they're not the easiest team to score against. So I'm going to go with defense in this one over Iowa.
Okay. I will take Iowa in that one. This is a big man matchup that might happen in that one. Evan Mobley against Luka Garza. I'm reading that those two are pretty good bigs, but will really be a fun matchup. But Mobley's a freshman, and he should get put in his place, or maybe sunned, if you want to put it that way. I think that, that'll be a sunning situation with Garza. And so for the West to come all the way out of the west side of Indianapolis and go to the Final Four, we both have Gonzaga competing. You have them against
I believe we both have Gonzaga against Iowa here, huh?
You have USC.
Oh, I have
Gonzaga
against USC. That's right. It doesn't matter because I have Gonzaga.
Okay.
They're the best team. They're the best team in the country. They're going to the Final Four.
They come in to the tournament as the best team in the country. This is true. However, Iowa is not a total one-man team. Garza averages 23-7. That's a lot. But Iowa scores about 84 per game. This is not some undefeated deep team just, you know, against a one guy, a one-man gang, something like that. That's what I was thinking going in because, again, I haven't watched much. I haven't watched much Iowa. But they got other scorers. They got guys around them. I'm going to take Iowa to knock off the Zags, give them that first defeat. You want to talk about teams that that don't do much in the tournament, no matter what they do in the regular season? Not just the Big Ten. How about the Zags and that history of that program? Boy, they put up a lot of W's before March gets here, and then March comes, and it's like, where's Gonzaga? What happened?
Oh, wow.
Hey, where'd they go?
You got Iowa going to the Final Four.
I have Iowa coming out of the west side of Indianapolis.
I have Gonzaga, and you have Iowa.
All right. On to the East bracket. We will go down in the first round and just look at upsets in the East down below.
Once again, I have two.
Okay.
So not a big upset, but I've got St. Bonaventure in the 8-9 game beating LSU.
All right.
LSU is just one of those teams I'm like, that's a football school. And I never really think of LSU in basketball. So I'm going against them. And I actually have, this one is predicated on the winner of the play-in game.
Oh.
So I have the play-in game winner, who I believe is going to be Michigan State beating BYU. Michigan State is one of those teams that was down all year and now quietly comes into the tournament very hot. That's just because once the calendar starts to turn over to March, there's just something about Michigan State. You know, I don't know what it is. That Tom Izzo magic, and I got Michigan State beating BYU. But whoever it is, I got the play-in game winner. Those are my only two.
All right. Yeah, that would sure be some magic if they got came all the way from the play-in game. But we do see that quite regularly, that one of those play-in game winners keeps the momentum going 2 days later and winds up winning in the actual legit first round as well. So would not be surprising at all. My upsets in the East, St. Bonaventure along with you. They played half a sked. They're only 15-4, so they're one of those teams that got interrupted by the COVID. But you know what? Some of these teams that hardly played, you got to consider that they're fresher, right, than the other teams. Also, they're in the plus 10 club, so I'm going to be partial to that. Can they handle LSU's Cameron Thomas, who's averaging 22.6 a game? I say, yeah, sure, why not? We'll go with St. Bonnie over LSU. I don't know if it's about the football team and not taking the basketball seriously, but that made me think about LSU and how many great basketball players can I think of, and man, I'm struggling after Shaq.
That's the list.
That's it? That's the list? Okay. Am I not to East Coast bias? I will slurp up some of the Pat Ewing love and take that story and take the Georgetown Hoyas as another 12 over five. I'll take them over Colorado.
I was close to agreeing with you on that one, but when I actually dug into it, I was just like, no, I'm going to go with Colorado.
I don't think I did much digging there. I think that's my just because of Georgetown and Pat Ewing and that legacy. That's a nice little story there. Abilene Christian is deep in the plus 10 club, the plus 17, but I couldn't do it. I'm taking Texas over Abilene Christian because you can't get a disparity in strength of schedule much bigger than that particular matchup. Here's a metric for you. Texas, ninth in strength of schedule. Abilene Christian, 318th. I can't do it. I could not.
You're saying they bum slipped.
they haven't played anyone at all. Just can't do it. And I almost had Maryland over UConn because neither team's very impressive. But the best player on the floor is going to be UConn's James Bouknight, I think is how it's pronounced. So I hope he plays through Maryland's defense and pulls UConn through there. Throw a hoe on a restaurant table, by the way, and fuck her in celebration of Rick Pitino. He gets Iona back into the dance, into the big dance. I didn't know Rick Pitino was coaching at Iona. That was I was like, what? I had no idea he was there, and I had no idea they actually were going to make the tournament. I hope Alabama beats them by 30. So I definitely could not pick that upset. So in the next round in the East, we both have Michigan against St. Bonaventure.
I've got Michigan.
Mansfield.
I went chalk, yeah. Which means you have Georgetown against Florida State. I have Colorado against Florida State. So interesting. I went with Colorado.
Wow. Okay.
They're efficient. They play good offense and good defense. So that sort of stood out to me. Those sort of balanced squads, they tend to do okay in tournament time. So at least in the first couple of rounds. So I'm going to take Colorado in the 5-4 matchup. Not really an upset, but I've got Colorado to move on there.
All right. And in my Georgetown Florida State matchup, I got my the Hoya dream ending there badly against an actual squad.
Okay.
So we'll take Florida State there. Your Michigan State UCLA play-in winner, would you say you're leaning on Sparty's side there? You have them against Texas.
Right. Now I have them getting rolled up by Texas. So Texas moves on and Alabama moves on. So very chalky on the bottom half of the East for me.
And for me, it would be BYU taking on Texas. And something's always missing in Shaka Smart teams. Here we go. We got Gonzaga. Something's always missing. Big Ten team. Something seems to be always missing. Shaka Smart teams. He gets up so high as such a great coach and a leader of men. And where's his teams when it's all said and done? Something's always missing. So I'll take BYU in that one. They shoot much better. It's comparable defensively to Texas. And even comparable strength of schedule wise to Texas, which I was surprised by that. So yeah, I'll take the Cougars of BYU. And then it'll be for both of us, UConn the 7 against Alabama the 2.
Right, I have Alabama.
I'm going to go UConn. They have size and they have a better scoring defense, just points per game. They give up a lot less, and it's a Big East team. It's not like it's the SWAC or some terrible conference or something. But UConn actually, you know, they sharpen their teeth. They're in a real conference, and I'm going to take them to upset Alabama and move on to the Sweet 16.
Wow.
All right.
Okay.
In the Sweet 16 in the East, you have Michigan taking on Colorado. Is that correct?
I do. And I've got Colorado moving on to the Elite Eight here. So
yeah, it would be a big upset knocking off. That's the one seed Michigan. You're not impressed with the Wolverines.
It's the Big Ten. You pick against unless it's Michigan State, pick against the Big Ten.
All right. That's the lesson learned through the years from Jason. For me, it's the Michigan versus Florida State matchup. I don't know necessarily about picking against the Big Ten all the time, but I will concur and have Michigan get bounced here. This is where and there's an injury part to it, too. This is
sure.
Michigan losing their point guard, Isaiah Livers, to injury during the Big Ten tournament. I think this is where it catches up to them, because even if he's back, he had a stress fracture in his foot, even if he's back by this point, he won't be up to speed, and you need all hands on deck against Florida State. They're always so deep, so I think that's where that catches them, and Florida State moves on.
Wow. Okay.
And below that, we have completely different matchups, so we'll have completely different talking points on that. So you have Texas against Alabama in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, and I actually have Texas moving on.
All right, you're the shock of smart believer this year.
I'm believing in Texas this year. Very well balanced team and good on both sides of the ball. So I'm looking for consistency. I'm looking for balance. Usually I'm looking for, you know, the mismatches where, you know, mm-hmm. where that team that's just going to, you know, go lights out, which I just think it's harder to do with this environment. You're not going to, there's no home crowds. There's not going to be any of that. And that pop that you usually have. So I think it does come down to, I think, a little bit more metric stuff this year. It's all, basically, neutral site games, even though you can technically say that in a normal year, but you know, and I know it's not, right?
Right. Depending on what region the Sweet 16 and whatnot is in, some teams have way, way more fans than others. So
right.
It sounds like a home game.
So I have Colorado and Texas I have in the matchup then.
Mm-hmm. And this year, I couldn't even look at the anything to do with the buildings or the home field, because who knows? Who actually knows
right.
how any of these games are going to play out as far as the crowds go, as far as the building itself? No one really knows. So I just threw all that out the window.
And Indiana's not in it, so there's no home field or home court.
Right. But maybe the teams much closer geographically might have an advantage there, which we'll get into shortly. My matchup down there in the East, on the bottom half of the bracket, BYU versus UConn. I'm going to write that James Bouknight. Again, I don't know if that's how it's pronounced, but I'll write him one
it's
more
over.
Game to the, exactly. I'll write him one more game to the Elite Eight. I'll take UConn in the Elite Eight. In the Elite Eight matchup to go to the Final Four, you have the Colorado Buffaloes against the Texas Longhorns. Who do you got going to the Final Four?
I've got Texas going to the Final Four to face Gonzaga. So I've got Gonzaga and Texas on the left side of the bracket this year.
And was there something that you saw about Texas that just made you fall in love with them this year? Okay. Moving right along. I mean, look, neither one of us saw any of these teams play, so we're both in the same boat as far as that goes. My matchup in the East to go to the Final Four will be Florida State versus UConn. I'm going with Leonard Hamilton's athletic rotation here and taking the Seminoles to go through UConn and go to the Final Four. I think that might be the one thing that I concede to this weird setup and scenario is deep teams like Florida State that could just rotate athletes off their bench like that. Like if you almost like the Packers in that playoff game, if you got somebody that's cold, take them out and rotate somebody else in. Let's see who's going to get hot, and whoever stays hot, keep them in there. And even more so this year than any other year when you have to kind of gin up your own momentum. There's no crowd, like you're saying, that I'm leaning towards a deep team like Florida State, so I'm going to go with them to make the Final Four.
All right.
On the other side of the bracket, as my voice gets ready to go out, so I'm going to get a quick drink here. But south side of the bracket, any upsets?
Oh, no. Hang on, I'm doing this on my computer and my bracket refresh. South side of the bracket. All right, I got it back up here. I got. I seem to have a theme here. It's two. So I have two upsets again. And those two upsets would be number 12 Winthrop over Villanova and number 10 Vatek over Florida. Those are my two.
All right, I got your upsets down.
Number 12 Winthrop falls into, not even knowing it, number 12 Winthrop falls into one of your plus 10 category teams as an almost plus 13 team this year. Villanova, you know, when I looked at the numbers, I mean, it's Villanova's not what they used to be. So that to me, just doesn't feel right. So that's one of those, and 12-5 usually gets one upset at least every year. So that's going to be mine. And Virginia Tech over Florida again. I went with the team that plays – this one I did go with the team that plays a little bit more defense, and I went with VaTech.
All right, got those chalked down here. I'm going with a few upsets in this round. The 8-9 is the small one there, but – I think that's a bad matchup for North Carolina. They get Wisconsin, who's their number one in least turnovers per game, to North Carolina's number 279. edge to Wisconsin, the best cure for insomnia, watching Wisconsin Badgers basketball, but I think that's what you need to beat a North Carolina team, is you need to turn them over and need to take care of the ball, and I think Wisconsin will do that. Winthrop is indeed in the plus 10 club. You beat me to that note. They're also in the win every game except one club. They're undefeated except for one game. So they know how to win. Villanova point guard Colin Gillespie tore his knee and his season is over. And that just seems like a perfect 12-5 upset setup. So I am with you on that one. I've got a couple more upsets after that. Colgate, the 14, they are also undefeated except for one loss. I've got them knocking off Arkansas. They are they're both in the club. They're both in the plus 10 club, but Colgate only played 14 games. Again, they might be fresher than most other teams. Maybe that's a good thing. Daniel Sargent's hubby might be left yelling something after this game because he's the coach of Arkansas, Eric Musselman, down there, and he might have. He's the guy that married our girl Danielle after she had her many different faux pas on the air, including
the game 72-71.
So he might be up saying that if Colgate indeed knocks off Arkansas. Gotta love Danielle Sargent, the gift that keeps on giving. I've got one more upset. I'm not done in the South. No, I'm looking at your upset in Virginia Tech over Florida. So no, I got confused there. No, so that's it for my upsets.
Okay.
Yeah.
Three.
Right, because I was considering Utah State, the 11 over the 6 Texas Tech. Utah State made the plus 10 club just barely, but Texas Tech barely missed it with almost identical numbers. It's a close pick of Mac McClung. I remember him from Georgetown. He's now playing for Texas Tech. So I got them to run past Utah State. And Florida will be I've got them over Virginia Tech because I think they'll be emotionally charged up. They got to keep that kid Keontae Johnson in mind. If you remember back in December, you may have seen the story of the kid collapsing on the court for Florida and almost dying there. So the family wants to make sure that everyone knows that was not COVID related. So I guess that's one of the strange things to come out of last year is almost every illness and death you have to note immediately if it's COVID related, because we got to keep track of what's COVID and what's not. And it's just, you know, one of those odd things, but apparently not COVID related, but I think they're definitely going to play for at least one game. They're going to play for that kid and come through for them. But you got Virginia Tech going over them in the first round. So in the next round to get to the Sweet 16, we both have Baylor taking on I've got them taking on Wisconsin. You've got them taking on North Carolina.
And I've got Baylor winning that one. Either way, I think I'll take Baylor over North Carolina or Wisconsin.
Yes, I would also do that as well. And then after that is we both got Winthrop as the upset. over Villanova, yes. And we both haven't taken on Purdue.
I have Purdue. Once again, balance. Purdue yeah,
but,
is.
But they're Big Ten. What's going on?
Yes, I have a Big Ten team. They're not all going to get bounced right away. But, you know, okay. I have Purdue moving on over Winthrop here. So my number 12, the Cinderella dance is over.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was tempting to go far with their 23-1 record, but I'll narrowly take Purdue out of the Big Ten. I'll concur with you there. From there, it is Texas Tech for both of us, but for you, they're taking on Arkansas.
Yeah, and for you, they're taking on Colgate. Either way, I have the Red Raiders, so I have Texas Tech moving on over Arkansas. Although Arkansas is one of your plus 10 teams. As you look at it, got a feeling. It's just, I'll take Texas Tech. Looked good on my bracket.
Well, I got a feeling too. Texas Tech and Colgate should be high scoring. Tech looks small looking at their team and they don't have a lot of size. Colgate scores at a 50% clip. I think they dunk over Tech, and I got a feeling about Colgate. Everybody go brush your teeth and put Colgate in the Sweet 16.
All right. Oh, man. All right.
And below that, you got to have some crazy picks out there, right?
Oh, sure.
And below that, you have Virginia Tech against Ohio State.
And, yes, Ohio State, I think they play in the Big Ten. I'm taking Va Tech.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Virginia Tech.
I've got Ohio State taking on Florida, and another one that looks up-tempo, lots of talent on both sides. I think the Buckeyes eke that one out, but if Florida beat them, I wouldn't be surprised because the Big Ten does seem to exit pretty early.
Yeah.
In the Sweet 16 in the South, we both have the same matchup, is that right? Baylor and Purdue.
Baylor and Purdue, yeah. And I'm going to go with Baylor to come out on top here over Purdue because I think Purdue plays in the Big Ten. Although they get an unceremoniously bounced here by the top seed Baylor. Baylor's pretty good.
Yeah, they're really good, and I'll have a metric for you as well for this one. Baylor and Purdue. Baylor, 3-point rankings, 3-point teams percentage in all of college basketball. Baylor, number one, best 3-point team in the nation. Purdue, number 188. I will take Baylor to shoot the lights out and put Purdue out of their misery. So I backed it up with a metric. And then below that, we're definitely on divergent paths as far as our games. You have Tech, you have the Battle of the Techs, Texas Tech and Virginia Tech.
Texas Tech and Va Tech. That's right. I have Texas Tech moving on. The Red Raiders playing Baylor for a chance to go to the Final Four.
The All-Texas matchup. I have Colgate against Ohio State, definitely a different matchup. I'm going to have the Colgate dream in there. Got E.J. Liddell, the big man. He's got to play like a big man and take Colgate out and just swap him down here. So I'll have the chalky 1-2 matchup for the bid for the Final Four. And you have Baylor taking on Texas Tech.
I've got Baylor going to the Final Four. Chalky.
Okay.
Chalky in the South. I've got 2-1 seeds in the Final Four, and this is my second one, so.
Well, we have different ways of them getting there, but we both have Baylor coming out of that region. Too much shooting, too dominant all season. I will also take the Baylor Bears to win the South.
All right.
Now, on to the Midwest bracket below the South. Any upsets in the first round?
And if there ever was a theme to my bracket, and I look at it, I have two. I literally have two upsets in the first round in every bracket. This is crazy. I've got number 13. I've got 13 Liberty. Liberty over Oklahoma State, and I've got Rutgers over the 7 seed Clemson.
Liberty. Any insight at all into that?
Wait till you learn about Liberty.
Okay.
Nobody.
Teach me.
Nobody. Rains the death from above more than that Liberty squad. They rain the three balls. Oh, and that is it. Nobody this season took more three pointers than Liberty percentage wise. and also made them fourth best in the nation. Sometimes that kind of stuff, I mean, yes, you can shoot yourself out of games that way, but Oklahoma doesn't really look to me as being one of these, Oklahoma State, I should say, doesn't look to me as one of these teams that's going to hold up to basically just the relentless three-ball assault that is about to be rained down upon them by Liberty.
With great vengeance and anger.
Yes.
I read that about Liberty. I was aware that they like the Jack.
Death from above.
Watch out
for that one. If I had some money, I'd go put me some money on Liberty. I really love me some Liberty in this one. Give me Liberty or give me death.
I knew something like that was coming.
Yeah. And I've got Rutgers, even though that's a Big Ten team, allegedly.
that Big Ten power, that traditional power Rutgers.
they've tried to actually kick out of the Big Ten multiple times because they suck so hard. I'm actually going to take Rutgers to upset Clemson.
Oh, man. All right.
No reason. Upsets.
Well, there you go. Upsets for me would be not many. I'm with you on the Rutgers one, and I think that might be my only one as I look down the list. Rutgers is surprising. They're surprising that they're in the tournament at all to begin with. They're only 15, they're 15-11. It's not like they're a powerhouse at all. And one of their star players, this will make you feel old, Ron Harper Jr.
Oh my God!
I know. Isn't that unbelievable? What the hell? I'll take them to knock off. Who are they playing? Clemson. God, Clemson can't shoot. Talk about some of these teams in the tournament that are shooting close to 40% from the floor. It's like, how the fuck did you get in? So Clemson's one of those. So I'll agree with you there. Loyola is in the plus 10 club. They dominated the Missouri Valley. But I'll take Josh Pastner's hot Georgia Tech squad, who have actual real players. So that's actually an upset. That's a 9-8. I overlooked that. So I got two as well, just like you. And San Diego State, the 6, they're in the club. I think they can take down Syracuse. They're just meh. Houston, Chicago, Cleveland State, but I needed to bring that up at 215 because, again, making you feel old. Dolphin shout-out. Whitney Young Dolphin shout-out to the head coach of Cleveland State, Dennis Gates' son. Mr. Gates' kid, he was there the exact same years as Quentin Richardson. They both came in the year after we graduated, and they won the Illinois State title in 1998. We've all heard of Q, Quentin Richardson, but Gates was on that team as well. I don't think we ever – was he an Aggie? Did we meet him or did we know him? I don't remember coming across him.
Really sound familiar.
Right. All we know is he's obviously the son of Mr. Gates, the gym coach, because they have the exact same name.
Wow.
And another Dolphin shout-out, another throwback blast. I was reading an article about Dennis Gates, and he says that he wears a very nice suit while coaching every game in tribute to his high school basketball coach, my old division teacher, our buddy Dandy George Stanton, Mr. Stanton.
Stanton.
Yeah, what a guy. He was a
hey there, big guy.
He was a dude.
Every time I'd go in the gym, Mr. Stanton, hey, big guy. I remember Mr. Stanton. I was going to – it was tennis. I played tennis a lot, you know, at the park by my house. So I remember it was the first day of tennis. And he's like, you got to do all these drills if you want to get an A in tennis. And here's what you got to do. All right, everybody go practice. And I was like, oh, give me Mr. Stanton. I want to take my test. What? Big guy, what? Come on, big guy. Like, yeah, I'm going to take my test. I said, all right, hit the ball up in the air 10 times. About, you know, I did. And so I hit the ball against the wall 20 times. I was like, yep, okay. Got my A in tennis on the first,
the first day.
So.
Yeah.
That was nice. But yeah, I had Mr. Stanton for gym. I liked Mr. Stanton.
I liked him too. He's my division teacher. He's very dandy with the clothes. That's definitely how I remember him. And real cool guy, real nice guy. So some Dolphin memories, some Whitney Young Dolphin memories in the middle of our show.
I'm not going to the Loyola well like I did a few years ago. If you remember that, I had that run.
Oh my God.
I was driving
crazy.
Definitely
remember.
I kept racking up all those upset points with them.
I just kept waiting for somebody beat these fuckers. What the hell?
And then when I knew they were lost when they had that cut under the basket move that they kept doing and nobody could stop it. And finally the team stopped it. And I was like, oh, they're done.
That's it.
Okay, they're out.
That's enough of that.
Their only move. Somebody stopped their move.
Yep. Well, that's how it usually works, right? You got that one thing you can do, and then you run into a real team that actually knows how to stop that, and that's
now I'm down.
About the end of that. So we'll see what happens this year. They're back. Right up there at the top of the bracket to get into the Sweet 16. Will it be Illinois or will it be? You have Georgia Tech actually knocking them off in the first round. So you have Illinois against Georgia Tech.
I have Loyola, actually. That was not the upset. Loyola is the 8.
That's right. I have Georgia Tech. I'm confused. I'm sorry.
I have Illinois beating either one of them. Okay. Illinois, they're in the Big Ten, but they're good.
However, they're really good.
They're really good.
I also have Illinois beating. I have them beating Georgia Tech. You have them beating Loyola. I did write that down. I just read it wrong.
Yes. Okay.
The next matchup I can get right because we have the same matchup. It's Tennessee against no, we don't. You have Liberty.
I have Liberty. Give me Liberty over Tennessee.
Oh, wow. You got them going on. Okay.
Yes. I got Liberty with death from above.
Give you Liberty or give you death. No, I have Tennessee against Oklahoma State. But what we have in common is we'll both have Tennessee to get knocked off here. I'm taking Oklahoma State.
All right.
That should be the first good defensive test Tennessee would be for the star of Oklahoma State, Cade Cunningham. 20 points a game against a stingy Volunteers team. I like that as far as just a game to watch, like a real good game to actually catch. But I'm going to go Oklahoma State because I don't like Tennessee's offense. That's another one of those teams. 44% from the floor, I don't think that's going to cut it. So I'm going to go with the Cowboys there. We definitely have the same matchup down at the bottom of the Midwest bracket. We have San Diego State against West Virginia.
Yes, and I have West Virginia over South San Diego State. I'm still mad at San Diego State for that year I had them in the Final Four a bunch of years back, and then they lost in the first round. So screw them.
Always, forever, screw San Diego State.
That's right.
The stunner here is that San Diego has a much better defense than West. I'm used to Bob Huggins and West Virginia.
Right?
Yeah. Apparently they're a different team. They're not West Virginia anymore. That's not who they are. So I'm going to take San Diego State. I think they're the Aztecs. I'll take them to hold down the Mountaineers of West Virginia. And then at the bottom, Houston against Rutgers.
Rutgers remembers in this matchup that they play in the Big Ten and they lose to Houston.
And they also remember that they're fucking Rutgers. So I concur.
You and I both picked them to get out of the first round.
Because Clemson shoots, 44% from the floor? That's terrible. So in the Sweet 16 matchup, we both have Illinois. You have them taking on Liberty.
Liberty! No, it's over. I'm taking
it. Oh, I was going to
I know you this. Wanted me. I know you wanted me. No, I wasn't going to go death from above all the way through the bracket. No. If Liberty makes it to this game and wins, nobody will be more upset than me. But I will take Illinois here over Liberty.
You were right on the cusp of taking it. If it happens, you had it. You had to tee it up for you.
No.
I've got Illinois against Oklahoma State, and I will take Illinois. The Cowboys, I don't think they can match up physically with Kofi Coburn. Is that really his name? Okay.
Cockburn.
Yeah. That Cockburn guy is really good.
Yeah.
At the bottom of that bracket, you have West Virginia against the Houston Cougars.
I'm a little chalky here, so I'm going 1-2 here. I got Illinois going against Houston in the matchup for the Final Four.
And I've got San Diego State against Houston, and I will also go chalky. I'll take Houston. I don't think San Diego State can match up with all the athletes on Houston. So we both have what will be a really, really fun-ass physical athletic game to get out of the Midwest bracket between Illinois and Houston.
If this game happens, this will be my favorite game of the tournament.
Yes, indeed.
I'm taking Houston to go to the Final Four. Top 10 in both offensive and defensive efficiency, and they give up the lowest scoring percentage in the league out of all the teams. That is insane. I'm going to take Houston to put the clamps on them, and they can score. How many teams can score and play elite defense? I'm taking Houston.
All right. That's good metrics. That's good bringing the heat on that one. Great physical contest. I don't think you can go wrong picking either one. I'm going to take Illinois to overcome Houston. They're just so talented, and the guys are, I think they're ready to take it to the next level. They were this good they were good last year. They weren't quite this good is what I was trying to say. Both those guys, DeSomu and Colburn. I was actually looking back at my notes from last year before, you know, everything shut down, and I was talking about both of them last year. So who knows, you know, if they go all the way last year, because they were doing pretty well last year before everything shut down. So I'm taking Illinois to come out of the Midwest, despite being a Big Ten team, and go to the Final Four. Our Final Fours, we both have Baylor, and then I've got Baylor against Illinois. Yes, I got Baylor against Illinois and Iowa against Florida State. You have Baylor against Houston and Gonzaga against Texas. We'll start on that left side, I guess. Gonzaga versus Texas in your Final Four.
I've got Gonzaga going to the finals, playing for the first perfect season in 42 years.
And my matchup over there is Iowa out of the West against Florida State out of the East. As deep as the Noles are, I don't think they don't have anyone that can score, just keep up scoring-wise with Matt Garza down there in the paint. So I'm going to take Iowa to go to the national title game. And then on the other side of the bracket, we both have Baylor competing. You have them against the Houston Cougars.
I do. And I said I was metrics heavy. I'm going with Houston over Baylor to go all the way to the finals.
I've got Baylor matching up against Illinois. And that's not metrics. That's just, again, physical one-on-one. As athletic as Baylor is, I don't think they have anyone that can defend Colburn and DeSomu. Like, I don't think they have two guys that can take care of that daily double. So I'm taking Illinois to go to the finals. So your national title game, Gonzaga going for the undefeated season, but they have to go through the Houston Cougars.
I'm going to go with Houston to win the title. Gonzaga gets all the way there, just like we saw with Memphis a few years ago. Get all the way there on the cusp of perfection. And when does Gonzaga's March badness actually spills over into April badness? So I'm going to take Houston over Gonzaga, 81-78.
Do not ever mention that Memphis season around my wife. Just free advice.
Okay.
She's still sore. She's very,
so
very
I
sore.
So I should not, next time I see your wife, I shouldn't be wearing any Kansas Jayhawks gear. Is that what you're saying?
And don't ever say the name Mario Chalmers. She might actually pull out a firearm. She might actually do away with you right there on the spot. She is, you know how I talk about the angriest in 30 whatever years that I've ever seen you is at that Cubs playoff game. That's the maddest I've ever seen you in my life. The maddest I've ever heard my wife. I didn't see her because we were on the phones. We were still long distance dating. But that's the maddest I've ever heard my wife is when Mario Chalmers hit that three to send that game in overtime and Kansas knocks off Memphis and Derrick Rose at the end. Not good memories for my wife. Not good at all.
Okay.
By the way, my national title pick that I should get in before the live show ends. My all Big Ten. How about this? It's an all Big Ten title because that's how crazy this year is.
Yeah, I wasn't going to point that out. I'm glad you did.
Look, we're in the Midwest. We're in Indianapolis. those are probably the schools those are the schools that are going to have the most people there. And I don't get a chance to pick Illinois to go all the way because they're usually not that good. I'm going ILLINI for the national championship. Because when else am I going to ever pick Illinois? I mean, this is this is their best damn team, and I don't know.
You should have taken Liberty.
More on our after show when we come back. And we're into our VIP after show program. Yeah, I had to do it. I'm like, this is their best damn team in God knows how long. Everything is setting up for them. They don't have to travel anywhere. They're going next door to Indianapolis. They're right there already. Their fans probably are going to be migrating over there because it's such a short trip, relatively speaking, to all the other teams in the tournament. It sets up for them. I think if there is going to be any team that feels like a home team advantage, just by virtue of them being so highly ranked, that that's more of an opportunity for more people to come out for them because everyone loves a winner, right? So, I think that's going to be probably the loudest fans in the stadiums consistently during the tournament will be for Illinois because they're a one seed, they're best damn team in years and years and years, and everything is right there within hours of University of Illinois. It's set up for them perfectly. I think they got a real opportunity to go all the way. And like I said, I don't know if I'm ever going to take them again in one of these March Madness matchups. So I'm going to go with Illinois.
Yeah, this is like DePaul being in the tournament, or you know, Illinois being good.
Number one seed, the Illini, really? Yeah, going back to the Kendall Gill days and Marcus Liberty and those guys.
Liberty.
No, Marcus Liberty.
Okay.
Not Liberty University. Marcus Liberty. Different, totally different. Shout out to Marcus Liberty, wherever he is. I had to do it. But
so now
but
I'm already pumped. I'm pumped for the tournament.
I am too. I didn't know anything about these teams before they made the selections, and I started looking them up a little bit, and then I go through my brackets and I make my picks, and now I'm actually ready for the big dance.
Yeah, like we went through all this and we talked about it. It's like, man, can they start tomorrow?
Right, I'm ready.
I gotta wait two more days before they tip this off.
And I'm used to us doing the March Madness show on Tuesday while the first of the play-in games are being played.
Oh,
but that's
right.
Not even happening.
Yeah.
They're not even doing the play-in games until Thursday. So, yeah, everything's all messed up. So. I think that's – I hope I got that right, that the play-in games are all on one day on Thursday, starting in the afternoon, like at 3 or 4 o'clock, something like that, and then they're just going to go bang, 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 and knock out all four of those play-in games. And then tournament starts the next day on Friday.
So I went with metrics. I went – Houston is just – man, as I was researching these teams and doing their looking, they jump off the page. So I'm going with the stats.
Houston is a hell of a squad, all right? I am not trying to talk them
you're
down.
Not crapping
and
on my, you're not crapping
I
on my pick
absolutely
here.
Am not crapping on the – and I'm familiar with Houston being here in Memphis because they beat the fuck out of the Tigers on a regular basis the last couple of years. So I've seen a lot of Houston. If I've seen any other team more than Houston besides the Tigers, I don't think I have. I think that's the team I've seen the most over the last couple of years. Will be the Houston Cougars, and yeah, they're dangerous, man. They're real good.
So there it is. I mean, we made
there
it through.
Is.
I had two upsets in every round, which is weird. I'm usually much more upset heavy.
Well, it's a weird year. It's everything
is
weird.
And one of those being predicated on me having the winner of the play-in game doing one of the upsets. So. Hopefully.
But it's not unusual. It does happen.
That's an 11 seed play-in game. So it's not like it's not like Michigan State and UCLA are trash.
Right.
They're not
taking one of the 16
Northern,
seed play-in.
They're not
games.
North. They're not North and App, which is the way it shows up on the Yahoo here. North against App.
You
Is that Northern Florida?
Norfolk State. That was close.
Oh, my God.
That was a good guess.
Is that Appalachian State? I have no idea what that is.
That one you nailed. That's correct.
Okay.
Appalachian State. That's right.
If I see NORF, I'm thinking Northern Florida.
Is there a Northern Florida? I'm sure there is, but.
Probably. They probably suck really hard, which is why they're Appalachian State and Norfolk. Oh, great.
Well, what about that other 16 playing game? What does it say for that?
It just says MSM and TXSO. So I'm guessing that's Texas Southern.
That is Texas Southern.
And MSM is the main. They're playing the mainstream media.
I was wondering how they were going to alphabetize that team. That's why I was asking about it. So that it's almost impossible to guess who that is. So, yes, mainstream media. That's correct. It's
Mount St. Mary.
Yes. I like mainstream media better.
Mainstream
Anderson
media.
Cooper is going to be handling the points, among other things. Did I just say that?
You were vague. It was vague. You were vague enough that got by the censors.
They can't get me on that. Okay.
That's not a thought crime. Don't worry.
So you've got the Houston Cougars. I've got the Fighting Illini to go all the way. So you did everything set up okay on the group?
Yeah. No, the only thing that I was unsure of was when you sent me the invitation, it didn't have a name for the name that sent it to me. It just said apostrophe S.
Okay.
So I was like, I'm guessing this is you. Because you don't usually send me email to my Yahoo email. You usually send it to my Gmail account, like for the baseball stuff. So
All it was what I went back to the Yahoo group that I made for
right,
us,
which is what we do every
couple
year.
Years ago. Right. It wasn't last year. It was a couple years ago. And then I just re-invited you to that group. So I didn't know what my settings were. And obviously something got erased in there. But, yeah, so I actually haven't gone in and put my picks into that particular group yet. So that's why I was asking, is everything working out all right over there?
Oh, breaking news.
Uh-oh.
From our fantasy league. From our fantasy baseball league. The Tomcats were finally able to trade the great Nick Solak.
Oh.
Nick Solak, if you didn't know the biography of Nick Solak, Nick Solak cured cancer, single-handedly developed the COVID vaccine, is going to the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. At least that's what I could get from the write-up that I was being given as far as why I needed to trade for him and his $20 salary. It's nice to see after all those things that our buddy Tom and the Tomcats were able to get a 77th, number 77 ultra pick in the end for the great Nick Solak.
Okay.
For listeners of our show, that's not value at all, 77, for what he was asking for. That would be the Midnight Riders that traded for him.
Yeah,
new team.
That's what I wanted to know was who is trading for a $20 Nick Solak? Who is acquiring that?
That's the newer guy.
The newest team.
The newest team. The most recent team that joined. But that's good for him. You know, it's a position scarcity play. You know, there's not a lot of second basemen.
Yeah, I guess. yeah, so
But we were joking. Texting each other, joking back and forth about the oversell these bios that I get.
And you know
Like if this guy, he's going to help your team in so many ways, and he rescues stray kittens and puppies. And it's like, you know what? Just make me an offer. This guy for this. That's all I want. Because when I make trade offers, that's all I do. If I need to sell you on the fact why the guy's so good, I open myself up to the question of, he's so good.
Why are you trying to get rid of him?
Why aren't you keeping him?
And I can't even imagine you sitting there trying to turn on your salesman hat and That didn't even make sense. Turn on your salesman hat, but you know what I meant.
Yeah.
And try to pimp somebody like they're the greatest things in sliced bread.
That's not in your nature.
Yeah,
no, I work.
Can't
in
imagine
sales.
You doing.
I work already in sales, so you try to avoid that reputation. You know, so you have to sort of become opposite, and you don't want to feel like the you know, I'm gonna get the mouth spray and plaid jacket and. Tell you all
I was
about
just about to say that's
piece of
that's
crap that I'm about to sell you. Sales badger.
Between a salesman and a used car salesman. Those are two different things.
The used car salesman is going to tell you all about why this is the greatest. Oh, man.
Awesome
it's a steal.
Instrument.
It's a steal. I'm
you
giving you this guy for
this guy.
Free.
What do I have to do to get you in this car? What do I have to do? Yeah, that's.
Well, I'm glad he was able to get something for him because he clearly didn't want to keep him.
And in his defense, he didn't invent the write up a full bio trying to pimp somebody. That's not even get the feeling that that's something that he saw other people do in this league and decided that's what he needs to do. I don't know if that's even something that Tom came across in his mind. I think that he saw that.
The two emails that I got so far trying to offer me players both kind of like read like Carnival Barker. You know?
Yeah, yeah. That's just
become
what
one,
some guys
come
do.
All.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the beard.
You won't
lady.
Believe how great this guy is.
He will astound you with his play. I believe the other guy that he was trying to trade me was Willy Adames on the fact that he's like a defensive wizard. I'm like,
That means zero in a fantasy.
Literally means nothing to me.
Yes.
But no, he plays so much defense that he's going to stay in the lineup, see?
Yeah.
Even though the number one prospect in baseball is breathing down his neck.
And guess what? If he doesn't hit, no matter how good his defense is, he won't
That's
stay
right.
in the lineup.
So, but hey, I will never fault anybody for trying. I'll listen to any trade. I am respectful when I decline. It's like, I don't think I'll do that.
Yeah, you.
It doesn't work.
It's another reason why I couldn't have a team in that league because I wouldn't be so nice. I can be kind of rude.
No, you can't do this. It's a gentleman's game.
I know, but if you give me an offer that I think is crap, I'm probably gonna say it's crap.
The big mistake that I made was I was on the call driving home from work when we had our virtual league meeting. So yes. I had to rifle off from memory who I was keeping, right? Not
right.
realizing that we have Max Stassi for $1, who is apparently the starting catcher now for the Angels.
Yes.
And he was last year and played okay. Because he was always sort of that backup guy in Houston, right?
Right.
And he went over to L.A. and he got the starting job and he still got the starting gig. So I left him off. Because my memory, I wasn't thinking of my $1, you know, my Max Stassi, he's a buck.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't, so of course I started getting offers for him. And I was just like, oh, oops.
But, like you said, you listen to any offers, so there's really no harm, no foul, right?
But Nick Solak wasn't it.
That's not it.
That was the one. I'm not trading you my $1 catcher for a middling, at best, $20 middle infielder, when I already have Xander Bogaerts and Marcus Semien.
But even if you didn't, you're still not doing that deal.
Yeah, correct. You know, if I had no middle infielders, I would have at least entertained the offer or talked them down to a 77th ultra pick. the burning question in my mind for you, Andy Dalton. Apparently now the answer for quarterback for the Bears is Trubisky coming back?
I don't know. I don't think he's a free agent, but I'm not 100% sure.
Is Andy Dalton signed basically to prop up Trubisky? Because he's definitely... Like, you're not going to be running to him, hopefully, you know, like they did with Foles.
I don't know
about that Bears quarterback situation, but I want to ask you about the Red Rifle.
I'm as confused as you are, honestly. I don't know, because you don't sign him to – he's not taking you to anything. He's Andy Dalton,
no.
My God. So, yeah, I don't – let's see. 2017 draft, 17, 18, 19, 20. Yeah, that is – well, was his rookie deal 4 years or five? So I'm not sure. I really don't know if he's a free agent or not. But either way, it's Andy Dalton. There's no reaction to that as far as, you know, a Bears fan. Like, every Bears fan reaction to that should be to shrug your shoulders and go, nah.
Well, your reaction should be shrug your shoulders and go, God, I hope he never makes it into any games.
But does it matter? If he doesn't, and it's all Trubisky or Foles, is that any better? Like, there's nothing really to make you go anything other than meh unless they trade for Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson. Anything pretty much short of that is just meh. And even if they did trade for one of those guys, if they don't put the tag on Allen Robinson, then they got nobody to throw to. So it kind of doesn't matter anyway.
It's pretty terrible. And it looks like by the numbers, Dalton virtually got the same deal as Ryan Fitzpatrick.
And
so knowing that, I'm guessing I don't even need to ask you, if you're going to sign one of those two veterans, wouldn't you rather sign Fitzpatrick?
I'd rather go with Fitzmagic, sure.
I mean, he's got a better resume, I guess. He's a grittier guy. I think he would have fit more in Chicago. Like, they'd love him.
Yeah, they would, but... Yeah, it's still not an exciting signing if they got Fitzmagic. It's still like, what are we doing long term? It's the same question, really. It's just, that's that. I can't explain what the reaction was when I saw that they signed Andy Dalton. It was such a question mark. Like, you could see the question marks over my head when I read that earlier today. Like, what?
The Bears signed Andy Dalton? That's a question?
that I'm Ron Burgundy? That's not the answer to your franchise to sign Andy Dalton. That just
right.
That's just one more year of what are we doing is all that does is buy you one more year of that.
If the answer is Andy Dalton, I don't want to know the question.
I don't know the question, and I don't want to know either.
While in the meantime, the Saints re-signed Jameis Winston, so hopefully we have hopefully we get to play our best drop ever a lot this next year, because I don't want that to be the Taysom Hill show. I want just give Jameis the job, please.
I think that has to be what happens. I cannot imagine that Sean Payton saw that trial of Taysom Tebow as their starting quarterback and says, yes, I want more of that. I don't think he wants that. I don't know. Who knows? How many coaches would ever even try to put him in that position? How many coaches would have ever started Taysom Tebow for four games at quarterback in a season where they're ostensibly contending for a championship?
Yeah.
But he did. He got away with it.
And they won some, yeah.
He won three of those games with the caveat that you always have to point out.
Two of those were the Falcons, and one of those was a game that shouldn't have been played.
Correct.
Just throwing that out there.
I'm desperately looking at Mitch Trubisky's Wikipedia, trying to find his contract status to answer the question if he's actually a free agent or not.
I do believe going into all this was that he should have hit the open market. But I would have expected there to be some buzz around him. So I don't know if there's like team option. I don't know what the deal is right now. It's sort of like a no man's land for poor Mitch Trubisky.
Or is he that bad that nobody wants to sign him?
Nobody
that
wants
the issue?
Him. Mitch Trubisky is going to go to Canada.
And rehabilitate his career.
I know that we have crapped all over him on this show. Well, first, for all the undeserved media hype, boy, that Dak Prescott deal still mystifies me.
That's a
they just
lot of
gave you know, him. They gave him the bank, And
but they kind of had to. They painted themselves into a corner because they were stingy with the bag last year because they didn't believe in him. And then he comes out and says, okay, well, watch this. And he starts putting together these stupid statistics and Dak time and not necessarily showing that he's a winning quarterback, but showing that he can put up some great numbers. And then he tears his ankle in five pieces. Yeah. And now the Cowboys can't let him go for on a couple of different fronts. They can't let him go because what do they have a quarterback behind him? And now they also can't let him go because he tore his ankle up trying to bust his ass and win games for them, and they can't.
So basically, we can't cut him because it's a bad look.
Yes, they can't turn their back on him at that point.
Like he gave up his body for us. We're not gonna Earl Thomas this poor guy.
Oh.
Right? We don't want Dak Prescott getting wheeled off the cart, flipping the bird to us.
Right.
Right?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So basically,
this
a
is what
PR
I
signing.
Get for trying my hardest for you people.
That's right. It's a PR signing.
But they could have saved, everyone knows they could have saved so much more money by doing it last year, but they clearly, that's the astounding part about it, is they clearly have shown all the way up to the moment that they gave him the bag that they really didn't want to give him the bag. Like,
no,
they don't think
the
he's that good.
No, I don't. Do you?
Well, I don't, but I'm not Jerry Jones.
No,
Jerry Jones clearly didn't think he was that good, but at the same time, what else you got? You know, if you get rid of him, then what else are you going to do? So they had to. They absolutely painted themselves into a corner. I'm laughing because the Cowboys fans are so irritating as hell, and I'm laughing at them thinking that they got their future signed up because they re-signed a quarterback who can't play until the fourth quarter, and that was before he broke his ankle in five places. So now what do you think you're going to do? But nonetheless, I think the Cowboys just – pretty much did the only thing they had to, the only thing they could do, and it guarantees them no future success at all. But at least they don't have to answer that question anymore. It was the soap opera that would not end. It was ongoing. It was the long national saga was finally over the day that I looked at my Twitter and saw, oh my God, they signed Dak Prescott to a long term. I honestly was to the point where I didn't think they were ever going to do it.
Yeah, when I saw it, I found out about it because I saw your tweet alert on my phone about the national nightmare being over, and I was just like, oh man, that's a lot of money for empty stats.
That it is.
That well.
But you know what the alternative is Mitchell Trubisky and Andy Dalton on your.
No, I know.
On your free agent
that's
list,
a lot of money. So I know you wanted my hot take on the Packers doing exactly what I told them not to do, which was extending Aaron Jones. Not that I don't like Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones is a good player. He fits really well in that offense. But I thought that the money would have been, like, you cut him and you can re-sign Jamal Williams for less, and you have A.J. Dillon, who you drafted, and you can go back to the well. You can draft a guy in the third or fourth round or get an aging veteran running back cheap and fill that need and still have a stable core of running backs, you know. And Tyler Irvin, I don't know if he's coming back because he was hurt, but you could still put that together and get more pieces around Aaron Rodgers and get those defensive players that you need. I just thought that was money better spent elsewhere. So it wasn't – they didn't break the bank for him. I mean, I think it was 4 years for 48 total, which isn't – insane money. It's not 40 mil, but still, that's $12 million a year. That could have bought you a really nice, I don't know, pass rusher, offensive lineman. Now that Corey Linsley's gone, you could have spent that money elsewhere.
Target other than Equanimeous St. Brown.
I don't know if there's still up in the air whether Devin Funchess is going to come back because he was a COVID sit out. So he would potentially be back on that team next year. They could go and maybe go on after one of these top-tier tight ends that apparently they're all going to the Patriots.
Yes.
I would have rather have had them, you know, get Aaron Rodgers a safety blanket, which he doesn't have. He has a bunch of running backs who can catch, and he has a bunch of wideouts who are all kind of the same guy, and he doesn't really have that possession guy. Robert Tonyan, he had some nice catches and a lot of touchdowns, but he just doesn't have that. You know, every quarterback wants to have that safety blanket, right? Like Brady had James White for those last few years, and he's got Gronk. You know, you want to just have that guy that you can look to. Aaron Rodgers doesn't really have that guy. He just runs around and takes a lot of sacks because his O-line stinks too.
Which has always been a problem, which is why I had him going out in the playoffs, and it kept picking against it. Eventually, I was right, but
well, actually, when you picked against them, you had them to win.
I did, but I did pick him against him against the point spread, but I did think he was going to pull out the game. That is true,
right?
But I had the feeling the whole time it was going to catch
find
up
a
to
way.
Him.
Yeah, you thought it was going to happen against the Rams.
Yeah.
And then the way they just sort of sunned the Rams, which was surprising.
Right, just dismantled them.
Yeah, you know, and then that was when they had that whole three-headed running attack thing just working, you know, and just keep bringing in a fresh guy and just run like just barrel into that defense. And then when it looked like they had that working against Tampa, they got away from it.
Yeah, so it's kind of the same thing with the Packers to me. It seems like all the time it feels like they actively try to not upgrade their offensive line, and they actively try to have the receiving core consist of Davante Adams and guys. And it's like, why do they not want to improve those situations? I don't understand.
Yeah, so that one, you know, so I was warning against that move all year. I was telegraphing on the show that I was what I thought, and if I'm not obviously the GM, but what I thought their best course of action was to let Aaron Jones walk, let him go get the bag from somebody else. There were other teams, I'm sure, that would have paid for his services. But then when I saw the deal, it looked a little more team-friendly, I think, than I was expecting. So I don't hate it because I still like the way he fits. It looks like Jamal Williams, he's already said his goodbyes. So Jamal Williams will be the odd man out. I don't know if he's signed anywhere yet, but he's not a dumb guy. he knows. Writing's on the wall. He's gone. You know, there was no way that they were going to keep him and Dylan and Jones to keep the whole band together. So it's not what I wanted them to do. I can honestly say I don't hate it, but I still would have done something else.
I understand. And I actually kind of like it. I think that's definitely not stupid money for any running back that's still relatively young and averages in the neighborhood of 5 yards a carry. I think those guys are...
And he can catch.
And can catch out of the backfield. Those guys don't come along that often. So I don't have a problem with throwing some money at a guy and keeping him around when he proves to be... Because that really is the trend in football, is take a running back, use him up, and when it's time to pay him, let somebody else do it and just let him walk. And that just seems to be the way that it goes, and they decided to take care of him and actually show that he's valued, and I think that's actually a shrewd move by the Packers. To clean up the Mitch Trubisky questions, I am indeed coming across different articles about different teams that are looking at Trubisky as a free agent. Washington was one of them. They obviously won't be anymore because they have Fitzmagic. San Francisco is being rumored as looking at Trubisky. He's on the market. He is a free agent in you know, there's nothing stopping Chicago from bringing him back again, depending on how much in love, you know, Ryan Pace and the coach Nagy is. But man, Nagy, it seemed like Nagy kind of fell out of love as the year went on with Trubisky. Trubisky was just too inconsistent. I think he lost his big fan there. So I don't think he's coming back. That's just how I feel.
Okay.
So yeah, so it's basically going to be the Andy Dalton show. But again, that can't possibly be anything more than a 1 year Band-Aid to keep your job and to keep the ownership thinking, well, next year after we suck this year and get a bigger draft pick, and we'll get a franchise quarterback next year and everything will be fine. I think an ownership that's actually alert would have gotten rid of this whole crew already. Like they've run their course. I already declared that I'm through with the whole lot of them. But, you know, we know how Virginia McCaskey operates. She falls in love with a staff and with a GM and a coach, and she lets them pretty much hang themselves, and that's what's going on right now. So, unfortunately, as a Bears fan, a lot more mediocrity to look forward to before anything significant changes. I really think that's how it's going to go.
All right. They haven't done much. Your Bears have not done much at all in free agency. So,
do they think they're good?
It's because the Patriots signed everybody.
They signed a lot. They definitely have signed a lot of people. They haven't signed any everybody. It's just that everyone is signing elsewhere other than Chicago, because Chicago is
yeah, the Jets have signed a lot of the Jaguars. I mean, the Jaguars must be loading up, because they know they're just going to be getting a quarterback on a rookie deal. So they can spend a lot of money. Jacksonville has signed a lot of dudes.
And they should, because they were awful.
Yes, they were bad. And the Jets were just slightly better.
Yeah, the free agency in full effect in the NFL. As far as us, our next event will be baseball?
Baseball preview, which I believe we are doing on the 27th.
And that's not long away. That's 11 days from now.
Yeah, 11 days from now, because I am leaving for vacation the very next day. So I will not be available that whole week. In fact, we get home on the 2nd, and we've got our draft on the 3rd.
We do. Now, I'm going to we're going to talk about the draft and figuring out strategies and whatnot, but I'm going to have to request to do that, like, not Friday and not the day of the draft, because I'm actually going in for my second vaccination on that Thursday, and if the side effects from the first one are any indication, I'm going to need a rest.
Well, I won't be home that week. I will be actually getting home pretty late, probably on Friday night. So I'm basically going to get home on Friday night and go to bed and get up early on Saturday and start working on the team.
Okay.
So I have a feeling a lot of our strategery and our strategizing might actually just be texting back and forth or sending each other like coded signals on draft day.
Yeah, and again with the vaccination, I don't know if I'll be available for draft day. That's definitely up in the air. So that's why I was thinking, you know, it was going to have to happen that Wednesday or Thursday or something. But
no,
you're still going to be on vacation.
I'm not around at all that week. So, yeah, from the 28th through the 2nd, I'm not around.
Okay.
But I think we've discussed a little bit about, you know, keepers and not keepers. I've got a pretty good sense of who I'm keeping, because it's exactly who I was, had a sense I was keeping a year ago.
Okay.
I've had the same, you know, I've had the same guys I've been planning on keeping for a year.
Right.
So that part's easy.
Okay. We'll figure all that out more as we go along. But yes, the 27th, that's
Saturday.
Saturday, okay. Saturday the 27th is what we're looking at for our baseball preview show.
Yes.
And now we're getting ready for the big dance. Like you said, we're getting excited now. We got the brackets in. We got our picks in. And we get to actually watch college bat. Hopefully there's no breakdowns. There's no COVID-related stoppages. There is a referee situation, which I don't know if you had read about. A bunch of referees, like, got into town. Their hotel rooms weren't ready. They went out to dinner together, sat around and stuffed their faces and breathed on each other. And then one of them tested positive for COVID.
Oh, no. Wasn't that just
like
the way it goes?
Yeah, so there's like six refs that have already been sent home before the tournament even begins. One of them is Ted Valentine, and I'm very happy for that. I don't want to wish COVID on anyone, but Ted Valentine, quite frankly, is the the CJ Buckner of college basketball referees. Like every time I see a game with this guy, something stupid happens and he's at the center of it. So he's that bad. Like he is just, I don't know why he's always ranking high. I guess he grades. I don't know what the deal is, but he's always ranking up there in seniority as far as referees go. And just it seems like every game that I watch that he happens to be refereeing, something goofy happens. Some goofy call happens that you've never seen before. And he's the one making the call and he's right in the middle of it. So I'm happy that he's not going to be around to ruin any of these games. Ted Valentine, if you don't know who he is, you may remember that his most famous moment would be when that complete asshole Bob Knight got so angry at him that he brushed past him as he's getting ejected and walks off the court and basically brushes past him, you know, close enough that they, you know, made contact. But, you know, he didn't have the stones to go right at Ted Valentine because Bob Knight's a piece of shit himself. But that's how aggravating and irritating Ted Valentine's calls can be. And just Bob Knight's not the only coach that has gotten angry with him and aggravated. So I'm glad he's not there. He's basically the Angel Hernandez of refereeing, and I'm so happy that he's out of the tournament.
Okay. Well, that's definitely settled then.
Yes. Just had to get that off my chest. All right.
You don't like him.
I could you tell? So
well, that's like that'd be like me talking about Angel Hernandez. Whoa,
right.
Jordan. Oh, my God. Or some of these football ones that we've had over the years.
Well, I called him C.B. Buckner at first, and you know how I feel about him.
He's your favorite.
Oh, man. Some guys are just have no right to have the jobs that they have, but that's how it is. So unless you had anything else, I think we're about ready to wrap it up.
Yeah, ready. I got a long week of work ahead of me.
All right. So, yes, again, for our next show, we're previewing the upcoming baseball season, which will be taking place in front of people for the most part. So that will be another return to normalcy, so that's good. Baseball starting Thursday, April 1st, real baseball, and we're having our preview show Saturday, March the 27th. So come back for that. And our group on Yahoo that I sent you the email to, I believe I made that public. So if anyone is listening and would actually want to join that group, for no reason, I remember I did this 2 years ago and nobody joined, so it kind of doesn't matter, but I put it out there anyway. The group is called IMLD March Badness, and it currently has two members, me and Jay. So if you want to join, I'm pretty sure I made it public. You can join and have bragging rights with your favorite podcast in much less detail, and we'll see whose picks come out on top. And once again, recapping, you've got the Houston Cougars to win it all, and I've got the Illinois Fighting Illini. So, do I hear little voices?
No. No, you don't. Or do we want to just call them the Illinois basketball team?
That would be the more politically correct version of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Is Cleveland changing their name, the baseball team, this year? Are we not allowed to call them Indians, or are they doing
I don't know.
Are they doing the Washington football team thing? They're just going to be the Cleveland baseball team? I'm not sure how that works.
I don't know. I want them to change their uniforms to just have the Army stencil writing, like aisle 7 at the Jewel with the generic aisle. The black, white unis that just say Cleveland in Army stencil writing, like it used to say in the generic aisle. Paper towels, toaster pastries, you know.
Spinach.
I can still see those ugly white boxes with the black Army stencil writing on them of what the item in the pack was.
I can still see them, too, because I remember the can of spinach because I was such a big Popeye fan that I insisted that they buy me a can of Army spinach, stencil spinach. And then they got it, and I bugged my mom enough that she brought it home and cooked it up for me, and I said, this tastes disgusting. I don't know why
Jewel,
I want this.
The Jewel by us, which would be the one right by Lane Tech. So I was right up there on Western. It was the aisle 7. I always remember that. Aisle 7 was the generic aisle because I would always get the generic toaster pastries, and it just said on the box, toaster paste. Not Pop-Tarts, toaster
not
pastries.
Pop-Tarts.
Not Pop-Tarts. And fig bars. I will tell you, those generic fig bars, amazing.
Really?
They were better than the Fig Newtons.
Huh.
And we're figging them.
I was going to guess that. I was going to guess that they had less sugar, which would...
They were really good. And so, yeah.
Well, there you go. There's
good times. There's some old Chicago memories, some high school memories, and always got to get in some aisle 7 at Jewel.
Definitely some old flashbacks there. Yeah, I don't have anything off of that. I can't match that. I gave my spinach story, and that was about it. God, that spinach is nasty.
Especially if it's cooked spinach and like leaf spinach. Like I like leaf spinach. Cooked spinach,
like in a salad.
Yes. Like a spinach salad, really good. Mm-hmm. But cooked spinach, it can be rough.
Mm-hmm. You got to put a lot of garlic in it to make it edible. A lot of garlic. A lot of salt and garlic.
Oh, man. All right. So, hey, we got 11 days to prepare for our baseball preview show.
In which we'll have all the same picks for the division and wild cards.
Probably. We'll have, and then that one big, stunning, shocking upset that we have, we'll both have.
Mm-hmm. So there it is. There's your baseball preview, folks. You just heard it. All right. He is Jay. I am Dre. This has been Kings of Non Sequitur, the off-season version of a much less detailed podcast. That was our March Madness picks show. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And we'll be getting ready for the big dance, the tournament starting in a couple days with the play-in games. I'm ready. Let's go. Let's start some hoops. All right. We will be back Saturday, March 27th. Baseball preview. Tune in then. See you later.